bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits to forgive it.
Or at most just one or two. I remember how they used the old church house for a school. Now the schools won't let a Bible pass inside their chilly doors. How the world has changed in only one generation. They say it's for the better, but they know salvation is slipping through their fingers. As they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told. I remember when the babies were delivered by the doctors. Now the doctors all are surgeons, making doors where doors don't go. I remember when the children were instructed by their parents. Now the TV is the parents, teaching violence and crime. Salvation is slipping through their fingers. As they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told. How the world has changed in only one generation. They say it's for the better, but they know it's growing. Slipping through their fingers as they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told. Yes, as they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor John Kyle. Glad to have you with us today for this Sunday morning church service. Not the kind of church service I prefer. I'd rather be behind our pulpit in our building doing it, but since that's not happening today, we're here with you by airwaves today. So God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to open up with a scripture this morning. I was just reading and meditating on it this morning and thinking about some of the things that are going on right now. Deliver me, Psalms 140, if you want to read along with me. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. There's a lot of evil men right now. There's those who are like Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci. Lord help us. Deliver, preserve me from the violent men. There's violent men that are plotting the destruction of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ out there, full of the devil today, which imagine mischief in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my going. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. The devil is proud, right? He got lifted up and exalted himself. They've hid snares for us and cords that bind us and tie us up with. Well, I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplication, O Lord. Verse 7, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. See, we are covered with the helmet of salvation today. He's covered our head in the day of battle, and certainly we're in a day of battle right now. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked devices, lest they exalt themselves As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. That's right. Let it come upon them. They that loveth cursing, let them be cursed. Let burning coals fall upon them. Certainly it will. Let them be cast into the fire, and that's going to happen, not only into hell, but eternal damnation in hell, into deep pits at Bill Gates and his conspiring against the human race. Oh, my. I'm sure there's much fire for him and much torment for that wicked man. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they may rise not up again. No, they'll never rise again once it's over. They're never going to rise again. So they're trying to have their big shot right now, but it isn't going to prevail. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in his presence. Are you dwelling in his presence today? I am. I want to be in his presence. That's where the life is, folks. That's where your strength is. That's where you're going to live the overcoming life right now in this time that is very unprecedented in our lives. We've never seen anything like this before. And the enemy has certainly made a move on the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we see how a lot of people really feel about the true Church of Jesus Christ right now. We see how that many people are controlled by devils that want to do away with the church and silence the church and silence the gospel. And we see pastors and ministers that are compromising to get government money. I'll not take their money. I don't want their money. Okay? And yet they're going to compromise, and they'll have to make concessions if they take the government money to fit under, well, you have to accept certain abominable sins that are condemned in the Word of God and accept them and their beliefs if you take the money. Well, no thank you. Not interested. Not interested at all. I want to just truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you today? Amen. Well, good to see you all tuning in here today. I see a number of people listening by telephone here, and that's wonderful to see you folks. And I don't know how much longer we will need to do this. I'm hoping to be back in the pulpit next Sunday, but it may not happen. And if it doesn't, then I'll be here with you this way. But as long as we're allowed to be on here, which right now that we understand that they're censoring a number of churches off of different places like Facebook and Google and even YouTube, perhaps. I'm tell you, it's just sad to see this stuff going on. But I've got a good word for you today, and we're going to go ahead and get into that word today and share with you these things, and then we're going to receive communion again, because I'm telling you, communion is important at a time like this, and it's important all the time, but it's important at a time like this when we're seeing the attacks on people's physical body. The blood, remember, the life is in the blood, and that blood will keep you, and his body was broken for you, and by his stripes you were healed. You know, there's a protection there. Like they did, they put the blood on their doorpost, and the death did not visit their houses. The destruction and death did not visit their houses, and it doesn't have to visit your house and mine. It's not going to. In Jesus' name, as we receive communion and anoint our homes with oil, and anoint even yourself with oil. Since I can't do it for you today, you could just get your oil and anoint yourself with oil today if you desire. And the Lord will protect you. And I'm just believing that none of you will die, and none of you will be struck down with these biological weapons these bioweapons that the evil people in this world have sought to diminish the populations of the earth with. How sick is that? How sick is the mind that desires to do such wickedness and think that they're doing a righteous thing when they're doing a wicked thing? How twisted people's minds can get. Isn't it amazing how twisted the mind can get under the control of demon spirits and darkness and living in darkness? and think that they've got a real cause and a righteous cause to do what they're doing, but they have nothing but wickedness to do what they're doing. Amazing, isn't it? Well, thank God for amazing grace, too. I'll tell you that. Amen. Amazing grace. And we're going to talk about grace today and in a way that maybe you haven't heard it, but nevertheless an important way. We're going to talk about listening to grace this morning as our message. And I want to pray first, though, before we go to that. And then we'll get into the message this morning. And again, thank you for tuning in. And the Lord bless you today and keep you in his presence. And may you take advantage of your time here. Those of you who are not working essential services, may you just draw closer to Jesus right now. Because you're going to need it in the days ahead. But this is not all over with yet. They're not giving up easily. But we're going to come against them in prayer, if you could agree with me. And we're going to bind it loose and break the hold of the enemy and the desires of the wicked against the righteous today. So, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and thank you, Lord, for another time to gather together by these airways, Lord. And thank you that, Lord, we're together in the Spirit. And, Lord, we thank you for the power of God here right now in Jesus' name and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we just bind those wicked spirits of death and darkness and destruction that are sent out through these wicked people that desire to hurt humanity, that desire to kill Christians and destroy the church of the living God, or the power of the church, that if two or three can agree to touch at anything, it shall be done unto them, and the power of binding and loosing. Yes, thousands shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at the right hand, nor no plague shall come nigh us. We bind these wicked spirits. We bind and break the power of these people. Send confusion into their camp. Lord, confuse and divide their tongue, these wicked people that desire the destruction of the human race, that desire to take down the economies of the world and of the United States of America. We bind these wicked spirits. We bind and break the power of, Lord, of these people that are being used by demons today and fallen angels and the devil to bring this destruction in. Lord, we just send the mighty warring angels against them to just tear apart and break down every plan that they have of wickedness and evil in the name of Jesus. We send the mighty warring angels into battle in the name of Jesus right now. And we thank you, Lord, for the ministering angels as well that will minister for us and to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that they are gathered around our households and around our homes and around our places of employment or wherever we go, that they will be there with us, protecting us from any bioweapon, because you said no evil shall befall thee, nor plague come nigh thy dwelling place. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper, whether it be formed in a laboratory or whether it be just a demonic virus or whatever it may be. In Jesus' name, we declare that truth over each of us today. And thank you, Lord, for your divine protection today. Thank you, Lord, that we're growing in you, Lord, right now. And the power of God is being manifest in our lives more and more as we look to you and trust in you with all of our hearts, Lord. Let us learn what that is to truly trust the Lord in this day and this hour. Let people learn to trust. And let it become a priority of their life, Lord, because it'll keep them alive and it'll keep them protected from the devices of the devil and the evil people that have given themselves over to darkness. So we break the power of these wicked people. We break their control. We just thank you, Lord, that confusion will come into their midst and they'll begin to make decisions that are in favor of the things of God and not the favor of the devil. And they won't know why they're even doing it, but they'll do it. Because of your influence in Jesus' name. And Lord, bless our time in the Word of God now. We go to your Word, Lord. And I thank you for speaking through it, through your Word, and through me, Lord, using me by the power and anointing of your Spirit, Lord. We thank you for that today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord, preparing our hearts, Lord, for more of you, Lord, and more of you, to contain more of you and to be taught by grace today, that we'll have ears to hear what grace is saying to us today. Lord, in Jesus' name, everybody say, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. Just say it. I'm more than a conqueror. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just declare those things over your life. Thank you, Jesus. And say, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Just declare that. I dwell in the secret place. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen. Amen. Listening to Grace is the title today. We're going to get into this right now. Let's go ahead and step into this important message right now. Listening to Grace. How many of you really sold out to Jesus today? You love him with all your heart? I do. And learning to love him even more. Let's go over to Titus for our main scripture this morning here, Titus chapter 2. And again, on these Sunday morning services, we're not necessarily teaching on deliverance as our primary thing, but just having a message for you that the Lord puts on my heart to share with you today, and this is an important one for right now. Titus 2:11, let's go there and read. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. How did it appear? Through Jesus, right? Teaching us. So what is this telling us? Grace has something to teach us, right? The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. So grace is teaching us something. We need to find out what grace is teaching today. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and for the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So grace is telling us some things. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Well, we're going to speak it with grace, and we're going to speak it with all authority, and we're going to exhort you today with it today. And so many of you have received the grace of God. Thank God for you. Thank God for your salvation. Thank God for our salvation. So if you have received the grace of God today, will you let grace teach you today? Okay, grace will teach you if you let it teach you today, and it has a lot to say to us today. And I want you to listen to what it has to say to you, okay? If you have ears to hear, let it speak, okay? Number one, it teaches us that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's important, folks, because we're surrounded by ungodliness and we're surrounded by worldly lust in this old wicked world. Listen, there's only so much room in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. And Jesus said, if you fill up yourself with junk, there's no room for him. Okay? So start making room for Jesus right now. Start making room for Jesus. Start making room for that abundance of grace that he wants to teach you with today. Okay? So then Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we are also compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Listen, we're in a race right now. We need to run it with patience, and we need to run it with faith. But there's put aside the sin. And notice it so says so easily beset you. How many know it easily gets a hold of people? And this word is taken from putting a garment on. Sin is like put a garment on in winter, and before long and very quickly it surrounds you and encloses you like a trap. I mean, the big old coat, you know, you put on a garment and it, boy, it's surrounding you and enclosing you. It also, this means also easily entangling you. So easily besets you, so easily entangles you. As Peter said, and I'll paraphrase, I know you fall into these sins easily, but please put this worldly junk aside. See, this is ruining your ability to fellowship with God. And in case you haven't noticed, sin is not fulfilling in the long run anyway. There's a pleasure for a season, but how many know in the long run, sin doesn't bring fulfillment to your life. It brings destruction into your life. And, you know, we all probably have some weeds still in our lives, but grace teaches us to deny the weeds. to pull them up daily. Grace teaches us to deny. Everybody say deny. Deny yourself is not a palatable word in this day of self-pleasing, self-indulgence, and when we're giving the flesh whatever it wants. But see, now is the time to stop giving the flesh what it wants. If you haven't waken up, I tell you, it's time to wake up and realize that this thing on the earth is going to wrap itself up one of these days, and Jesus is coming back, and it's not going to be awful long yet, because the Bible says a short work will the Lord do in the earth. And he doesn't lie, folks. So if he says it's going to be a short work, if it's going to be a short work, right? Yeah. Hallelujah for that. So grace teaches us to deny. And we don't like that word of deny. Deny the flesh. Oh, no. Because we're used to giving the flesh whatever it wants. When it wants to indulge itself, we let it indulge itself. And such as dressing our preteens in tights that show everything, like an old J.C. Penney commercial that shows a mother pulling her preteen daughter's pants down before she goes to school, saying, well, that's not low enough. Really? Are you trying to live out a fantasy, Mom, or what up with you? And we know the message that J.C. Penney's sending, too. And they may not make it. A lot of, I read this morning early, after my prayer time, I read that 80% of the restaurants and certain businesses may not make it. They may not even reopen. That's a large number. Neiman Marcus has declared bankruptcy. A lot of the big stores may not make it through this. Do you think that's not by design? Think about this. This destruction is not by design. I mean, it is by design. And there is a plan in place by wickedness. They planned some things, folks. Yeah. But a day of premarital sex with no strings attached. After all, you can run and get abortion if something does happen, right? Oh, yeah, or check it out first before you commit. Yeah, we're just living together. My fiancé, I've heard that so many times. My fiancé, while they're shacking up, they call them their fiancés. And I don't really, oh, yeah, they plan to get married maybe someday, maybe not. But, oh, that's my fiancé, and we're shacking up, living in sin. Really? Listen, you've been deceived by the age and the present devils of the age. Yeah, go to Matthew 16:24. Let's read. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world? Well, who wants the whole world anyway? The world, the whole world lies in wickedness, it says 1 John chapter 5. So what are we talking about? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world that lies in wickedness? What do you want? Wickedness? And lose his own soul? So that's what will happen if you gain the whole world. You're going to lose your soul because it lies in wickedness, and you'll be a partaker of that wickedness. Of what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. Okay, so strong words, right? We're living in a day of sexual perversion and uncleanness. And it's disgusting that they had to kill that Epstein because he's probably going to tell off on a whole bunch of people, and they couldn't have that because so many are dirty today. So many of Hollywood people are perverts and sexual, have been involved in all manner of sexual sin. Okay? So this is the increasing demand of Jesus. Nothing but God's grace working in us can enable us to deny ungodliness, to deny the lust of the flesh, to deny these things. Only God's grace working in you, and grace is teaching us to let it work in us today. Grace teaches us to deny ourselves, to deny our flesh-ruled part of us that gives in quickly to sin and the selfish demands of the flesh. See, it teaches us to renounce evil, not to get in agreement with evil. See, that's why I don't understand why churches are wanting to take money from the government. They're getting in agreement with evil. They're getting in agreement with a government that supports homosexuality, abortion, and every manner of perversion under the sun. See? Grace is teaching us to renounce evil, not get in bed with the evil. Remember, Dagon had to be cast down. That god, that fish god, Dagon, had to be cast down first before the ark could be set up in its place. The old man, the fleshly rule must be put down first if the new man is to be put on and the spiritual man to rise up and live through us. The grace teaches you to mortify your members, to kill them, to mortify them, to put them to death, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. They're all around us and they are attempting to get a hold of us. But we rebuke them and resist them and deny them in the name of Jesus. We kill them. We mortify them. Today, we need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Grace teaches us to resist these evils by preventing the flesh from ruling over you. Right? Ungodliness is failing to give God his due place. That's what that means. Ungodliness. Failing to give God his due place in our hearts and in our lives. Is disregarding his precepts and his commands to us. It is loving pleasure more than holiness. It is being unconcerned whether your life is pleasing to the Lord or not. I don't care. I want sex, Lord. I'm going to do what I want. I want that sex outside of marriage. I want that pornography. I want to look upon the opposite sex with the eyes of the lust of the eyes. I want to partake of things that the scripture said don't partake of. See? The word of God speaks loudly and grace is talking to teach us something. See, grace is wonderful and thank God for the grace of God, but it also wants to teach you something. And you need to listen to what it's saying. Right? It said in it teaching us. That denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Remember? Grace is doing that. Grace is teaching. Grumbling. Grace is teaching us that, hey, no, let's not grumble. Because grumbling is ungodliness. Worldly lust are these affections and appetites which rule and dominate the man and the woman of this world. His heart craving, it is the heart of man and women craving worldly things. We're lusting after worldly things. Pleasure, riches, honors, power, pride, unnatural affection. It is an unnatural thing for us to do that as a Christian, but we still fall into that trap, people. Okay? I mean, these things serve only a temporary usage and purpose. They're passing away, the Bible says. Let's go to John 4:26. We'll read some more here. John 4:26. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you am he. Okay. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman, the woman, and yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? So you overcome these things by occupying your heart and soul with a superior love and a superior object. See, when Jesus was revealed to this Samaritan woman who had lived a life of sin and lust and was living with a man right then, she left her water pot. She put away that which is temporal and habitual to pursue the eternal. She took off with the anointing of God. God had just spoke to her, and she believed on it. And now she took off to tell people. What did she go to do? She said in verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? See? Oh, my. She'd received him, see? And what did he say to them? He said, verse 32, he said to his disciples, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And then they said, what's going on? What is he talking about? Meat. Well, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Okay? Do the work of the Lord. That's what we're here for. We're not here for just our own pleasure. We're called of God, people. You're called of the Lord. You're called with a purpose and a plan of God. Don't think you're here just to just live for yourself and satisfy your own pleasures and lust. Listen, you're here to serve Jesus. Put down your water pot and go proclaim his name. Number two, grace teaches that we should deny and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world right now, it says in Titus. That we should live soberly. A lot of the church today is not living soberly. They're not living righteously. They're not living godly. Soberly first, because we live in a... We won't live godly or righteously without sobriety, folks. Too many dear believers are drunken on the world system. They're drunken on the Babylonian world system that we live in today and its ways and its enticements and its seductions and seducing. Sober is the opposite of drunk. And we're to be sober in all things, is what the Word of God tells us, to be sober in all things. We'll read 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things, where it's at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The end of all things at hand, people. It's not off in the future somewhere. You better examine your life right now and think about it. The end of all things is at hand. It's not way, way off somewhere. Jesus said he's coming back. And if we're drunk on Babylon, we're going to be insensitive to the things of the Spirit of God. He wants you to be sensitive to his voice. How many know that a lot of people don't hear the still, small voice of God because they're hearing the loud voice of the world? They've been drinking of the wines of the world and the wines of Babylon. Sobriety is the moderation of our affections in the pursuit and the use of earthly things. We're to be sober. We're to be temperate. We don't want to be ruled by our eating and our diet, where we just get overweight so easily and we are controlled by our sweet tooth or our desires for food. We need to be sober and temperate in our entertainment. Because I'm telling you, a lot of what you're watching is it's just soaking into you in a negative way to set you up for future failures and future denying of the Lord, because it's ungodly, it's antichrist, and it has subliminal teaching in it. It has subliminal programming in it to separate you from God. And there's not a holy anointing on a lot of entertainment. There's an unholy anointing on it, right? And we need to examine what we're putting into our minds. They're to be temperate and sober in our dress. We don't dress like a street prostitute or a man that's trying to seduce women. And we need to be wise in how we dress. We need to be godly. We need to be sober and temperate in finances, okay, in all the things that we are. We are to be sober-minded. And only grace, divine grace, can effectively teach us sobriety in this time that we're living in any time in history, right? Only grace can do that, since grace has come, that is. And if you're growing in grace, you're becoming more sober. If you're not growing in grace, you're becoming more drunk on the Babylonian worldly system of the world. And to live righteously is to do unto others as we would have them to do to us, right? It is living truthfully. It is living courteously. It's living considerately. It's living kindly and helpful to others as well, especially to the body of Christ, it says. Look at Galatians 6:10, because this is the first about the church. They will know that we're Christians by the love we have one for one another, right? For one for another as a Christian. See, it says here again in confirms that in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. See, it says as we have opportunity, not as we have feelings. A lot of people are manipulated by their feelings, see, but no, that's not what it says. It says as we have opportunity, let us do good mainly or especially or primarily unto those who are brothers and sisters. The world has to come after your brother and sisters, right? Because it says primarily or especially to those who are of the household of faith, right? So we need to live in consideration of each other, and we need to live in sobriety toward each other as well, and in grace. Hallelujah. So this is important. Especially means also most of all. See, so the Greek word there is melista, and it means most to the body of Christ, most to your brothers and sisters. And you know, if we receive communion, it says that a lot of Christians don't discern the body, see, and they're getting sickly and dying. What's the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ, and a lot of people are not taking care of one another. They're not discerning the body of Christ, see? And we're to discern the body, and that's why some are sickly and die among you, because you're not discerning the body. We are the body of Christ. Recognize your brothers and sisters. Some of you have unforgiveness toward your brothers and sisters. No, you're not discerning the body. You're not to tear off your arm or rip off a finger or take and jerk a leg off. See, you're hurting one another. You're not discerning the body. See, and that's a whole other story. I don't want to get off on a trail, rabbit trail on that, but it also means that melista means above all to your brothers and sisters, okay? It means chiefly, it means very much so, your brothers and sisters, the household of faith, see? So this is effectively living out, loving our neighbor as ourselves, okay? And only divine grace can truly teach this to us. Otherwise, we're going to live selfishly, because that's what we normally do. I mean, we revert back to the fleshly living if we don't have grace working in us and teaching us. The supernatural power of God is grace, remember? He said, my grace is sufficient unto all things, he was telling Paul, and we'll talk more about that maybe in a minute, but you know, we're going to revert back to selfish living if we don't let grace teach us, okay? And so we need to let grace teach, okay? Amen. That's so important. So important. I can't say how important it is. It's just so important, okay? So this is the attitude of our heart toward God, seeking his glory. That's it. Not our glory. We're seeking his glory. Remember to give him praise and honor where honor is due, and honor is due to the Lord. We give honor where honor is due. Number three, God gives us three ingredients to overcome by grace through faith. Okay? So it's faith, fear, and love. Okay? Faith, fear, and love. So what kind of fear is it? Not being afraid of COVID-19 and things like that. No, it's the fear of God. Talking about the fear of God here. That's something that's greatly missing today in the society that we live in today, isn't it? Oh, yeah. That is certainly true. Why? Only by faith, too, can we truly get a hold of the Lord. Only by faith can we truly believe God. Hebrews 3:12. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. Okay? We walk by faith, not by letting unbelief live in our lives. We walk by faith, not by doubt and unbelief. And no, not by feeling, not by senses. We receive the blessing of God by faith, and we fight the good fight by faith. And we overcome the devil by faith. We overcome the darkness by faith. We fight spiritual warfare by faith. We bind and we loose by faith. We cast out devils by faith. We lay hands on the sick by faith and see them recover by faith. We do all things by faith. In fact, the Bible even tells us in Romans, whatsoever is not of faith is sin for us. So we better be able to do what we're doing in faith, or we shouldn't probably be doing it, right? If that's what the scripture says, and that's what the word says in Romans, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay, let's look at fear for a minute. We looked at faith, let's look at fear. We used to hear it said, so-and-so is a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman. What happened to that today? Do we see a God-fearing House of Representatives today, and that AOC witch up there, she's probably a Satanist. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, because she attacked Christianity this past week and said evil about it, and that it's just a bunch of superstition, a bunch of garbage, you know, basically what she said. So I have no doubt that she's a Satanist in my mind, but she may not be, but I think she is, to attack Christianity like that. Okay, for all we know, she could have been given to Satan as a child. Her parents could be Satan. I don't know. I haven't investigated it that deeply, but I do know that she's wicked. There's no fear of God in her. Okay? And so it's a bad sign about this generation today. There are two kinds of fear of God. A dread of God, that they're just afraid. And then there's the awe of God, which is what we should have. See, we don't need to be afraid of God. We've been brought in. We've been accepted in the Beloved. We're His precious children. He loves you with this kind of everlasting love that He has for us. So isn't that an awesome thing that you don't have to live in the dread of God? But I tell you, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart and been washed in the blood of Jesus and turned from your sin and repented for your sin, then you should have the dread of God, because there's only a certain fearful looking forward to judgment, it says in Hebrews, about if you don't know Him and if you reject Him, having had known Him. So, but for us, we just have a holy reverence, a holy awe, a holy dishonor for God. That's what we should have, see. And then that's something the world doesn't have. That's something people that don't know God don't have today. And they used to, even the ungodly had a bit of a fear of God about them. But we're not seeing that today, hardly at all, see? And so the first of these, the dread of God, is seen in Adam when he was afraid of the Lord and hid himself. The second kind was in Joseph when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Reverential fear and honor of God restrained him and kept him from giving in to Potiphar's beautiful wife when she was seducing him, right? If you remember the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife, he even went to prison rather than give in to a few hours of sexual sin and gratification of the flesh with that beautiful woman. He'd rather not do that, and he would rather go to prison than compromise and dishonor God. Now, that man had a true fear of God. He had a true reverence for the Father. Amen. Number three, love. The Bible says love constraineth us. And it constrains us to what? It constrains us to obedience rather than disobedience. The love of God constraineth us. It's shed abroad in our heart, and it constrains us to obedience. See, if you love me, you're going to obey me, he said. Again, love is taught and imparted how? Through grace, right? Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, and God is love, and grace reveals love and truth to us. Grace teaches us, and there's a lot that it's teaching us, and I'm only just touching the tip of the iceberg here today. I can't cover it all, but grace teaches. Grace teaches, okay? Love is imparted by grace through the Holy Spirit. Our heart is melted by His love and goodness. And now we, out of that love, are constrained to obey Him rather than to give place to the devil all the time. Not that we never do. We all fall into sin sometimes. We all slip up. We mess up. But that's why God's grace is there. He forgives us through His grace. There's forgiveness in grace. There's the blood of Jesus in His grace. So we see that grace teaches us how to live unto God and live from God, because we can't live for God, because then that would be us doing it, and that wouldn't be living out of the grace. Wouldn't be living from His grace and from His anointing and from His power. Amen? Amen. Finally, number four, grace teaches us to look for His second coming. He's coming back, folks. 13, looking for the blessed hope of His return and for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us. Listen, He gave Himself to redeem us from all sin, all iniquity, and He purifies us through grace. by giving of himself. Grace came because he gave himself. That was grace. That is a manifestation of grace. Grace is everything that he gave us to authority over the devil, healing of disease and sickness and divine protection and love. All of that came as grace. And grace is teaching us all about it and what it is and what it has and how to live. So grace teaches us to look for his return, the glorious appearing of the Savior. We have a hope, people. That hope is Jesus is returning, and we're going to live with him for eternity, an eternity of love, an eternity of him presence in us. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of his joy, and at his right hand is pleasure forevermore. If you want some fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore, then we're going to live with that forever, people. Jesus is returning, and we are but strangers and pilgrims in this present world. We need to begin to see ourselves. Grace teaches us who we are. We're strangers and pilgrims in this world system because the world dwells and lives in wickedness, according to 1 John 5. The whole world lies in wickedness. Let me read that to you real quick for those that have never noticed that before. 1 John 5, it says here, that, verse 19, and we know that we are of God. Do you know you're of God? If not, you need to be born again right now. We know that we're of God. See, I have a testimony within me. The Holy Spirit tells me I'm of God, tells me that I'm born again because I have Jesus in my heart. If you don't have that testimony today, if you don't have that sense of him being in you and that you know you're born of God, then just right now, stop everything and say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Wash them away with your blood. Jesus, I believe you're God. I ask you to come into my heart right now and save me and wash me in that precious blood. I give you my life today. Take it and do what you want with me. I belong to you from this day forward and forever. Just say those things to him and receive him right now. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess him with your mouth, you shall be saved. Okay? So, here we go on with verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from the idolatries of this world, the things of the wickedness, because the whole world lieth in wickedness. And, you know, you could just add to that the where it says lieth. Well, the whole world lies. Because Satan is a liar, the father of all lies. So you're looking at the world, you're seeing a lie. You're seeing lies all around you. You're seeing a thin veneer that is put there by Satan to keep people under his lies. You know? Think about that. The whole world lies in wickedness. See, there's a lie. It's a lie. There's a whole lie put there by the enemy to deceive you, to trick you. Moving on here, because I want to finish this up so we can receive communion here today. That's important. So Jesus is returning. Grace prepares us for eternity, eternal glory. Okay? And if you're not longing for his return, then maybe you're not quite right with God. Because a lot of people don't want him to return. A lot of Christians not ready for him to return. They want to go on living their life here. Well, this life here is nothing in comparison to eternity. Well, a lot of that is just simply a fear of dying. You're afraid of death. You know, but then, you know, the Lord protects you in death. I mean, he's there. The death of the righteous, as they put off their physical body, your spirit isn't going to die, okay? Just your physical body, and you get a new body. God gives you a new body, right? And to be absent from the body, he says, is to be present with the Lord. We don't have to fear death, okay? Now, we're not looking to die, just going out trying to die on purpose, but we don't have to be afraid of death either, okay? Hallelujah. Because if we love God, we're going to truly say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. And we don't want this world and its lies to go on forever. Would you imagine what would happen if it went on forever? No, we long for home. The Bible says that we groan, the whole creation groaneth in the waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So, You say you're saved by grace. You may be, but unless you're letting grace teach you to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present evil world, you're deceiving yourself and you're not allowing God to have his perfect work done in you. Let's let God have his perfect work, okay? So today, how many of you are willing to let grace teach you today? How many of you are willing to let grace speak to your life and cause you to hear what you need to be hearing today? Are you? Amen. 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 If you are, you tell God, grace, you go ahead, let grace teach me. I want to be taught by grace. And I've been teaching you by grace right here, okay? I'm not teaching you from law and legalism. I'm teaching you from grace. I'm not teaching this to condemn anybody, okay? I'm teaching it so you will know it, okay? Who would say, I want to deny ungodliness and worldly lust in my life through divine grace and faith in that grace? Who would say, I want God's grace to work in me so that I might be called a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman? If that's you today, tell him that. I'm going to be a God-fearing man. I want your grace to work in me. Would you join me in a unified crying out to God today that we might all be taught to live godly and righteously and soberly in the days that we're living in right now and the days that are right ahead of us, because the days that are ahead of us are going to be different. They're not going to go back to everything being the same. A lot of businesses aren't going to make it. A lot of things are not going to be the same, even when they do open things up, okay? They're not going to be quite the same. So would you cry out to God with me that we'll all be taught to live godly and righteously and soberly in these days ahead through faith and reverence toward God, fear of God, and the love of God? To make us so sober-minded, oh Lord, a watchman on the wall. What does a watchman on the wall do? The Bible says the watchman declares the king is coming. You know, he knows that the king is coming. And we're declaring that today. The king is coming. A faith man and a faith woman of God, a faithful man and faithful woman of God. See, the days ahead are going to be like no other for us. They already are. See, none of you have ever seen this before. None of us have ever seen this before. Manipulation, massive manipulation of mankind by the devil through wicked men and women. So the days ahead are going to be like no other. And we need to live and abide in that grace that Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient. When the devil was tormenting Paul, Jesus told him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. You take care of that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan. See? That demonic spirit that was attacking him. Said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. You have the authority over these evil spirits. Take your authority, Paul. And the Lord is saying to you, my grace is sufficient for you. Take your authority. Receive your healing. Receive your protection. Receive your blessing. Receive your financial support that you need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, you know, and by Christ Jesus. See, he's going to provide your need. Listen, he provided the raven for Elijah, right? He brought a meal, a juicy meal by a raven. He can bring it to you by whatever way he chooses to, an angel, a drone, or whatever. He can bring you. He can provide for you. Come on, don't be in fear about this. God is going to provide for you. He said the righteous shall not be begging bread. These are the people who will believe God. Not the people that are in fear and that are not believing God. There are Christians that won't believe God. They won't take his sufficient grace. They may not make it. This is if you believe. See, the just shall live by faith, not by fear. If you're living by fear, you're not living according to the word. Okay? But he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. He's telling you and me the same thing. My grace is sufficient to overcome the messengers of Satan and the spirits of evil and the death ahead of us and around us today. My grace is so sufficient. So let grace teach you. Let it teach you. Let it instruct you. Let it learn to listen to grace today. We're not living under the old covenant. You go back under the letter of the law and the bondage of the law. You're not going to be able to hear grace because the Bible says you go back under the law, you're fallen from grace. Why would you want to do that? That law is not going to get you through the days that we're living in today. Grace is going to get you through them. And my grace is sufficient, he said. Sufficient. You go back under the law, it won't get you through, I'm telling you. It's a ministration of death, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a ministration of death, not of life. And so, yeah, it brings conviction of sin. Thank God for the conviction of sin. Otherwise, we wouldn't get saved. But it's not something that we live on. Grace is what we're living in today. The ministration of grace, not the ministration of death. Amen. Hallelujah. I could go on and on and on, but we're running short on time here now. So I want to go ahead and move into receiving the communion together. I think it's important we take this together again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because there's such power in the communion cup and what it represents and what we do as we partake of it, as we step into the realm of the Spirit given to us by grace, because it didn't come under the old covenant, it came under the new covenant that we can come in and be joined to the Lord. The Bible says he that is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him, just like a person that joined to their spouse or to a woman or a man sexually, they become one flesh. But with us, when we're joined to the Lord, we become one spirit. And so this is just partaking of communion is a manifestation of what has taken place and a reminder of what was completed at the cross, and it shows what was done upon the cross that made us a spiritual man and woman that can come into being one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that we are joined together as one spirit with God. And when we receive communion, it's a manifestation and a refreshing of that knowing and that place that we abide in the Spirit with God, of communion with him, see? A reminder that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from every bit of our sin, and that we stand clean and we can come boldly before the throne of grace in our time of need, as it says in Hebrews, come boldly before the throne of grace. See, you couldn't do that under the old covenant because they didn't have a throne of grace under the old covenant. All they had was the law and punishment for sin, but Jesus bore your punishment. See, we're putting in remembrance what happened at the cross. Jesus bore your punishment on the tree. So that you're not fearful of punishment. See, I don't fear punishment. I'm not going to be punished for my sin because Jesus took my punishment, and I'm one with him because he spiritually made me alive to be on the same spiritual plane that he is. I've been caught up into the third heaven, that I can have fellowship with that with the Lord that dwells seated at the right hand of the Father, who ever maketh intercession for me and for you. He's making intercession for us today before the Father. And that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, not tribulation, not Bill Gates, not Como, the pervert Como, or anybody. No. They can't separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Amen? Nobody can. Because it's a spiritual union that has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. The guarantee, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the guarantee. Oh, my. This is powerful, folks. I'm just getting up there into the Spirit right now. I'm just stepping over even more. I've been in the Spirit, but, man, I'm going now. For sure, this is just glory of God, people. It's the glory of God that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. See? So as we partake of communion, it reminds us of everything that was accomplished on the cross. It reminds us of our right standing with God. It reminds us that we are now spirit, so we can commune. Our spirit was dead, but now it's made alive by the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, where he said that he's translated us out of the darkness into his marvelous light, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the marvelous Son. He took us out of darkness into light. And now we have a remembrance of that as we gather together to receive communion. So if you don't have your little cup and your bread or cracker or whatever it is you're going to use for your communion today, please grab a hold of that right now. And if you're sick in your body, remember, he said, by my stripes, by his stripes, you were healed. I want you to apply that to yourself today. If you're sick in your body right now, by his stripes, you were healed, meaning that it was an established fact upon the cross of Jesus Christ. And in John 6, I want to remind you that it also says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. So he didn't say at a secret rapture. He said at the last day you'll be raised up, at the last trumpet, at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, verse 55. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. See, this is a testimony that he's living in you and me right now. See, because we're partaking of his flesh and his blood, drinking of his blood, that's spiritually an infusion of the blood of Christ, a manifestation of the blood of Christ. You know, it doesn't become physical blood where this little cup turns into blood. No, but it's a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual manifestation of our relationship with God that takes place here as we partake of communion, as he manifests himself to us in ways that are beyond the natural realm of our thinking, in ways that are spiritually discerned and understood, see, as by spiritual people who are spiritually quickened by the Holy Spirit, if you can understand what I'm saying. I don't want to go too deep here, but I also want to be deep enough to where you can partake of this in the level that God wants us to partake of it is. It's not just going through the motions of taking communion like they do in so many churches today. This is not what this is about. This is about a manifestation of God in our life and a manifestation of the full accomplishment of the cross of Jesus Christ that was done on that day 2,000 years ago when he manifests himself, giving himself for us that we might enter into the place that he is. See, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Remember he says in John 14, do you remember what he said there? Let's go read that as we are about to partake of this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. See, we know because we know him. See, there's a mansion that a place that we can step into in God right now through the Spirit, in the Spirit, through the communion. That's why I can't just take this lightly. That's why people that don't discern the body, it says over in Corinthians, they're sick in the body, and because they're just not discerning of the body. They have aught against one another. They have bitterness. They've let a bitter heart of unbelief come in. They've let unforgiveness. So you ask God right now to cleanse you from all sin by his blood. And if you've got unforgiveness toward anybody, just say, I forgive. If that name causes an ill feeling in you, I forgive so-and-so by the grace of God, by the power of God in me. I forgive them. I release them. I know they've hurt me. They've damaged me. We've all been hurt. We've all been damaged. But Jesus is the healer of the damage. Jesus is the restorer of the breach that Satan has placed in our lives. Let your hedge be restored today. The little foxes spoil the vine. Don't let that little fox of unforgiveness spoil your vine any longer. Don't let these things get in the way any longer. Oh, we need to receive this. We can't keep putting it off. But there's so much to say about this. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall also live by me. That's verse 57 of John 6. Listen what he said. He lived by the Father. And if you eat him, you live by him. That's powerful, people. You're not living by your own strength anymore. You're not going to make it through the end times by your own strength. You're going to make it by living through him and living in him. See, and you live by him, it says here. You don't live of your own self any longer. We're not alone. We're not going through this all alone. You might feel alone sometimes. The devil will tell you you're all alone. You've been forsaken, but he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Oh, do you see that? This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers, not as the old covenant that eat manna and are dead. No, this is the new covenant. He that eateth of this bread is going to live forever. Live forever. Live forever. Thank you, Jesus. This is an awesome time. I tell you, I don't take communion lightly. This is the power of God. This is the presence of God. This is the spiritual union. This is living from him and him abiding in us. This is the glory of God, people. I want you to get the revelation of this, and only the Spirit of God can reveal these things. Meditate on these scriptures about this. Spirit of God will reveal things to you that are not earthly, but they're heavenly, third heavenly, from the realm of the heaven, from the realm of God. See? So we don't take this lightly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're taking it spiritually. We're stepping over into the realm of God today. As we partake of him, as we eat of him, and we drink of him, as we take that blood into us, the cleansing blood of Jesus, that sin cannot tolerate the blood of Jesus, cannot stand before the blood of Jesus. It cleanses of all sin and all unrighteousness, the blood of Jesus. It does. It does. Yes, it does, people. For as often as you eat, 1 Corinthians, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, what are you doing? You show the Lord's death until he comes. Okay? This is important. We're going to show what he accomplished on the cross. Verse 26 here, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So, let's receive the body of Christ that was broken for you right now. Let's just take, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do it in remembrance of me and all that I have done for you. Just receive now. And then he took the cup. When he had supped, that this cup is the new covenant. Not the old covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. And this do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Just receive the cup, the blood. Receive the pipe of the blood and the spiritual life of the blood into you right now. The healing of the blood, the life of the blood, the manifestation of the blood, the full gifting of the blood of Jesus right now. Receive. Yes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. He is good, and his mercy endures forever for all generations. Whether they receive it or not, it's enduring, and it's there. Hallelujah. Just breathe in the life of God right now. Just breathe it in. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. We breathe in your life. We receive your life. We receive your help. We receive divine protection by the body and the blood of Christ. We receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We receive the refreshing. We receive the forgiveness. We receive the manifestation of the kingdom in our lives right now. Thank you, Lord, forever. Amen. 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 That's good, people. It's God. I appreciate you being here with me this way. It's better than nothing. And God can manifest himself whatever way he wants. We don't have to be in the physical presence of one another to do it. And if two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you, right? He's there in the midst of us. He's there. And if we ask in his name, if we can agree together, it'll be done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What mercy, what grace, what wondrous works. I tell you, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Now, I know we see what's going on, but let's keep our eyes on Jesus right now. Yeah, we see the world, we see the wickedness, we see the Bill Gates, we see the all the different ones out there that are doing the wickedness. But hey, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. In the midst of all of that, let's keep our eyes on Jesus and let's be bold. The righteous are bold as a lion. Don't forget to walk in boldness. Don't forget who you are. And remember that Jesus gives you things that you need when you need them. So many people are trying to worry about what they might say if someone came to them and called upon them and called them to question about why are you doing what you're doing? What are you doing? You know, and when to arrest you or whatever. The words will be given when you need them, not before you need them. And they can come in an instant just like that too. Okay? You don't have to be afraid of the worldly authorities and the worldly people that try to force their will upon the populace of the United States and other nations as well. You just have to fear God. Right? The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We need to do that. Have fear of God, not fear of man. God will give you what you need when you need it. How many times have I proven that over and over and over again? And how many times may we get to prove it in the future? Don't know. We don't know what the future holds. We just know who holds the future, right? Amen. And we know what the book says. Thank God. But the book is yet, some of it's yet to be interpreted. A lot of people have interpreted the book of Revelation wrongly because they wouldn't have they didn't have the need to fully understand it yet. And we're coming in those times where more understanding will be given. Listen to grace. Grace will interpret by the Holy Spirit. He will. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for listening today. I appreciate the time. We've run out of time almost. And those of you who would like to give to the ministry, again, just give you that opportunity. Because I would be remiss on my job as a pastor not to say, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, right, that there may be meat in my house. And we don't want to end up robbing God, so we'll give you that opportunity to give your tithes and offering to the Lord. You can mail them to P.O. Box 50162. That's P.O. Box 50162, Billings, Montana, 59105. That's only those who want to. I mean, I'm not putting anything on anybody. You don't have to give. You. That's totally your choice. You do what the Lord tells you, right? Amen. That's P.O. Box 50162, Billings, Montana, 59105. I appreciate those of you who have supported the ministry in the past, and I appreciate those of you who are faithful in your giving. The Lord bless you for that abundantly. We appreciate it so much, and thank God that we don't have to take money from the government. We just receive what God gives, that God is the provider, ultimately, for all of us, and we trust in him with all of our heart. And hopefully we'll be back in the pulpit next week, but if not, we'll be here. Tulsi G., our governor, is supposed to end this order on the 24th or extend it. He hasn't decided yet. But I think he has, but he's a wicked man, in my opinion. The man's lost, and he needs Jesus. And that governor's a Democratic governor in favor of things that taking away the Constitution and different things. So I don't believe he's a good man at all. But I certainly pray that the enemy will stop his evil devices, that he wants to do. The Lord will stop the evil devices of this man. And give us the freedom to gather together. And churches should be essential service, in my opinion, because how people make it without Jesus, I mean, you just can't make it without him and have any manner of life at all of any value without putting him first. And again, we have a Friday program also that is whether the church service will happen or not on Sunday. We still have our Friday night program from 6 to 8 Mountain Time. So all of them are listed. You can go back to your archive. You can listen to any one of them anytime go back there and to deliverance today, Pastor John Kyle, and over 300 programs are listed there. So I encourage you to take advantage of those. And if you haven't heard them, listen to them, because they're about spiritual warfare. Most of them are. And they will teach you to be an overcomer in these end time days that we live in. And how many know that we're not called to be defeated, but we're called to be overcomers. We're called to prevail against the powers of darkness, not be overtaken by the powers of darkness. Amen? Amen. All right. Appreciate you folks tuning in today. Y'all are a blessing, and y'all are precious, and we love you, and we thank God for each one of you, because, you know, the Bible says that we're engraved on the palms of his hand. That's how precious we are to the Lord. And he loves us with that perfect love, that unfailing love. And get the words out. The unfailing love. His love doesn't fail. We might fail. We might slip into sin, but the blood of Jesus is there to cleanse us from all sin. We might slip up. We might say the wrong thing. We might do the wrong thing sometimes, but the Lord doesn't reject you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, this is the good news of the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's not bad news. It's a blessing. It's not a curse. Amen. Amen. So remember what the Lord has done. Put yourself in remembrance of all the things he has done in your life that are good, because the devil is a liar. He's the one that does bad things, remember? And God gets blamed for what the devil does, right? Oh, God took my child. No, the devil took him. The devil is stealing and killing and destroying. God didn't do that. The devil has done the bad things to you in life that have hurt you and devastated you, but yet he wants to deliver you from those things and fix those things and heal you of those things. Amen? Just have to let him. Just have to let him. Amen. All right, folks, I'm going to sign off now. Thank you for tuning in. We'll end with a couple of songs today, and then we'll see you next Friday or next Sunday if I'm not back in the church. We'll see what happens. I think he's not going to lift it, but we'll see, because, you know, we're having today at 1 o'clock, people are going to go and stand in Helena and say, get this state open again. And they're going to go and protest against the state being closed down and the destruction of the state of Montana economically. Anyway, they're going to go and protest. We'll see what happens with that. I don't know how many will show up, but pray for them as well. Father, we pray for them. We pray for the President of the United States in Jesus' name, that he will make right choices, even if he's surrounded by a bunch of wolves and devils, Lord. We pray that somehow you will speak to that man and that you will cause him to do the right thing for America and the right thing for the church of the living God, whether they're meeting in church or out of church, that we are still the body of Christ and we are precious to the Lord and you care about us. So, Lord, we pray that you will use the president and others that are in authority up there in the district or criminal, which, Lord, we just pray for those that are not criminals to do the right thing up there, Lord. And they will stand for America. They will stand for religious freedom, the freedom to worship God. And they will not step all over the First and Second Amendments and all the different things of the Constitution that are there to protect us from wickedness. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. And, of course, we know that you're the true protection from wickedness. We know that we can't put our faith in politicians and governments and Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all those things. We have to put our faith in you, Lord, and our trust in you. And so we give you the glory for that in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. All right, we're going to say bye now. We love you. Bye-bye. I will help thee.
righteousness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I, the Lord thy thank you.
Amen. I believe, don't you? I believe. God bless you guys. I love you. May the Lord surround you with his angels today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Bye-bye.